I have missed you guys. Uh-huh. Like you wouldn't believe. What?
No.
So, anyway, I want to start in Romans chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we have slanderously been reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. And I want to talk to you. I had an interesting couple of emails from one of my favorite people in this community that loves me so much. I just want to read one, and I want you to think for a minute, because it's fascinating. I have to go through him because he sent me about 4 or 5. Hang on, it must be the first one. I can't remember which one it was. It was so many that day. Yes, right here. However, this is what the person wrote to me. However, I see no point in discussing it when we do not ascribe to the same value system. Value system. And this person thinks, obviously, he's better than me. But you know what's really interesting? He doesn't know anything about me. So how would you say that I've got a better value system than this person when you don't know the person? You understand what I'm saying? And that's what self-righteousness does a little bit. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, I want you to read with it again. And not rather, as we have been slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. And sometimes when they say, well, if I believe what you believe, well, I don't like red, so keep that for emphasis.
Who's that chair?
Back.
You don't like red?
No, red's good, but it won't show up on the thing at all much. The value system is not a changing value system. The value system is all the same for everybody. And here's the problem. The value system for everybody would then have to be the law. All right, here's the problem with the law. One, it didn't come for 2,500 years. And during that 2,500 years period, guess how many were found sinners? All of them. So God entered the law. Does anybody know who the law came with?
Moses,
that's right. And for 1,500 years, they read the law every Sabbath day, in and out, special functions, everything. It was literally on every wall of the city coming in. You could have come in, there were elders that would make sure you'd understand the laws before you came in. Okay? The law was everywhere. And now for 1,500 years till Christ, Israel, who could offer the blood sacrifices and all the things that went along with the law, not one person, not one, ever kept it. That's fascinating to me. Now the value system, he just said, we don't have the same value system. That's baloney. It's exactly the same for him as it is for me, as it is for you. You understand? There is no different value system. I don't have more. He's talking about morality. But God doesn't, listen, God isn't interested in your morality. God is interested in your spirituality. You all understand there's immoral thoughts in your mind. I mean, come on. How many have had a 2-year-old? Not many.
I have.
That 2-year-old, you say, don't touch the TV. And the whole time it will look at you, reaching for the TV knob. Teach them to do it. You understand? I mean, I didn't teach it. That was born in them, in Adam. And here's the problem with the value system. If the law is the value system, look what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have what? How many?
All.
Then his value system, he's in trouble too. I'm in trouble. When I read that, it bothered me greatly because the man really doesn't know me. And for a man to judge me of my moral character when he doesn't know me insults me. Now think about that. Think about that. I'll give you another example. Carrie went to a wedding this weekend. She didn't have her covering on. One of the ladies came up and judged her and says, "You look better with your covering." As to put her down in the immoral condition. But hold it, if we put her under the same value system that God puts everybody in, how many is sin?
Oh.
That kind of levels the playing field, doesn't it? You see, if we use the same value system for everybody, and I said, okay, Mr. Roman Miller, I want you to stand under the law, and we go back to Exodus chapter 20. Let's read Exodus chapter 20. This is so brutal that by the time we get done, you ought to be screaming for grace. It ought not to puff out your chest and say, oh, I'm better than you are. But you know what? Israel did the exact same thing, and I'm going to show you that in the value system, because when you get really down to it, when you talk about rightly dividing, without that introduction of grace, without that mystery of exertion of grace, you'd be in trouble and would be hell bound. If it wasn't for grace, everybody in this room, everybody, look around, would all burn in an eternal fire of damnation for all eternity. What?
Somebody wants the website.
It's JustinTV, yeah. Justin.tv/the Bible study.
Oh, it's not marketing?
Well, they can go. No. Are they on Facebook?
Is it not hot?
They can get it on Facebook.
Go to Roman D. Miller and get it.
But don't they have to be
kind of
expensive to
do
that?
Justin.tv.
Yeah, just tell them Justin.tv/the Bible study. We're glad for everybody to join us, by the way. I want to appreciate Carlton and his new high-speed laptop so that I don't look like a jerk. You know, that digital glitch.
Even if you are?
No, well, even if I am a jerk. Exodus chapter 20.
Sorry about that.
Verse 1. And God spake all these words. Oh, hang on, before I read Exodus, go to Deuteronomy 6. Just a minute, I wanted to grab one verse. It was in my mind, and I thought I'd do it afterwards, but the more I thought about it, I thought, well, go to Deuteronomy 6. You can't find Deuteronomy? You haven't been studying your Bible. Of course, if you've been to our class, we only turn to Romans through Philemon, so you would have a hard time. Huh?
That's in the New Testament or the Old Testament?
Yeah. That's in that old part of the book. Deuteronomy 6.
Verse
24. Thank you. I was going to get to that, but Steve, anytime you can help me, I appreciate it. He got here early. He's feeling a little froggy. See what happens when you're early? Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Now the Lord never commanded them. The Lord said, this is the law. He knew they couldn't keep it from the get-go. You understand? He already knew. It wasn't like God was sitting up there, what if they're going to keep it? No way. God knew whether they were going to be able to keep it, and guess what the answer was? They're going to need a Savior. They can't keep it. They're going to need a Savior.
So why does it say God commanded?
The Lord God commanded us, watch this, to fear the Lord our God fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day, and it, the what?
The law.
The statutes, the commandments, shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these things, all these commandments before the Lord God, our Lord, as He had commanded us. Now, if they kept it, they would have been what?
Righteous.
They would have been righteous. But that's not why the law entered in. Just keep that in your mind. If you want a little hint, you may want to write it right there. Romans chapter 5. Well, let's just turn there. We'll get to Exodus in just a minute. Romans chapter 5. Write it in your Bible right there. You're going to want it. Get your little handy-dandy Bible. You want me to write it in your Bible, brother?
Yep.
I can't do that in print. Sorry. Romans your wife,
what?
Just copy your wife's Bible.
Romans 5, what?
Romans chapter 5. Let me get over there. You guys are rushing. You know that.
Chop, chop.
Verse 20.
Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Now, why did God enter the law? Isn't that what you want to know?
Yeah.
Here's why God entered the law. You know, most religious people think that they ought to keep the law. Amen? Mm-hmm. How many here thought that at one time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody here. I mean, that's what we're taught, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what God entered the law for. The law, verse 20, this is why God entered the law. Romans 5, verse 20. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might what?
Abound.
That they'd go, hey, we're sinners.
Yep.
That's why the law entered. God wanted them to see that they weren't any good. They didn't believe they weren't any good. So He said, look, I'll give you this set of law. And they'll see in doing this law that I'm coming up short. You got it? That's why God entered. Moreover, the law entered with who did it enter? Moses, right? The law entered that the offense might what? It was like a magnifying glass. They saw themselves like this. I'm a little sinner. But the law, when it's given, makes it look, man, sin!
Yeah.
You sinner! You're guilty! You need something else! And so we would see people go by. You know, it's amazing. The Mennonites used to do what? How did they get rid of sin?
Confess.
Well, the problem with that is without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you can't get rid of sin by confession. You can tell everybody you're a sinner. But you know what? Here's the good news. Everybody knew that but them. We all don't admit that we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
When you're confessing, you know what you're admitting?
That you're a sinner.
That you're a sinner. But the only thing that gets rid of sin is what? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Period. Mm-hmm. It's the blood. Not the attitude, by the way. Sin. The law entered that sin would. It wasn't there to make your pride in or arrogance, but hey, if they did keep it, would they have been righteous? Yes, they would have. So let's go back and play the value system. Isn't this fun so far? See, the problem is he was talking coverings and dresses and clothing and his value system. Well, that he couldn't give me a chapter and verse on any of that. As if that would ever be his righteousness. You understand? There is no verses in there that would have... The value system that would allow a man to be righteous would have been the law, and they would have had to do what?
Everyone.
He would have had to be better, listen, than Abraham, David, Isaac, all of them were sinners. David was a murderer and an adulterer. How did he get by? It was only grace. See, he was trying to show you you could never have done it by the law. It was never intended by the law. So people put this burden, this moral fiber on you, say, you've got to keep the law. You can't go this way or that way. You've got to stay strength. And people go, man, you got to be kidding me. In fact, most of y'all, the time you guys got saved, said, I couldn't do it. I'd watched my parents, they couldn't do it. Nobody around you. You know how many people actually have done it?
Nobody.
One. Jesus Christ. One. So if you are acting as if you're going to gain your righteousness by this value system called the law, then you're comparing yourself that you're as good or as perfect as Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That is blasphemy.
Amen.
So go to Exodus chapter 20. So you see, why did the law enter? That the sin might abound. And that sounds terrible. But God entered it so that they would see that they would need a Savior. What are you doing? You need what? You could have got all night tonight peeing. That stuff makes you... You know what Dove is caffeine's terrible about that.
Oh yeah. About what?
Making you pee.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, like you don't know what about peeing. Huh? We can't discuss that in a Bible class. That doesn't go
to
much.
That's about pretty obvious there, Barry. You show me the person that drinks coffee that ain't got to go to the bathroom every 15 minutes.
Exactly. That's my point. It's not a biblical verse, but I bet we could find it in the second version up in heaven. Exodus 20. He said, I am the Lord. Verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Any graven image. Well, you want to look around this room for just a minute? You see any graven images.
Oh.
Deer heads.
Look over there.
Photographs.
Look on the fridge.
If you have one
likeness, it says.
Likeness of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the law isn't like friendly. Oh, just do the best you can. You be the most moral person. That's not what the law does. Oh, come on, guys. You can do it. That's not what it's like. The law is a rigid, selfless, doesn't care. In fact, in the story of Ruth, you all know the story about the kinsman redeemer? Well, the kinsman redeemer, you got the Ruth story, but when I mention kinsman redeemer, Kurt goes like this. So that's not a good sign. The kinsman redeemer wasn't the nearest kinsman to redeem Ruth. So he had to go, and there's 10 guys sitting at the
wall.
Guess what those 10 men represent? The law. And they would not redeem her. Now, I'll get into that story one day, but just understand, it is like, guys, it ain't... You can't just kind of sneak in and do the best you can with the law, and the God's going to go, you are so good. He's not going to do that. Now watch what he said. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. How many have seen people wear angels? In fact, those angels aren't angels. Angels don't have wings. They think they're angels. It's so funny. That's like, did you show me where angels have wings? Oh, they all have wings. Why, didn't you see it? When the little bell rings, they get their wings. Well, it doesn't actually work that way. That was a little theatric for Andy.
I know, but what about in Revelations? Those weren't angels that had wings? The wings that covered their face?
No, those were seraphims.
Oh.
Angels are men. In fact, they were...
They came to see Lot, didn't they?
They did. And those gay boys actually liked them. So they were cute. I'm just telling you the way it is, guys. That's what was in Lot. You know the story there, don't you?
That's right. Yeah.
It was in Lot. It was in the city.
It was in the city, but in the story of Lot, you know, and what?
You had me confused for a minute when you said in Lot, but don't worry about it.
No, thank you. And so the point that I'm making with this is that, in fact, they came down and had sex with women, and that's where they got the giants from. They were in the world.
Oh, that's right.
I got a lot to teach you. There is I'll bring you up to speed slowly. I'm trying the best I can. This is taking 25 years to get it, but I can spew it out in about 10 minutes. I'm done. Let me tell you. Anyway, they wear those little cherubims all over there and seraphims. Well, they're in direct violation to the law. People go, well, I'm going to have a Christmas tree and I'm going to put that little angel on top. Santa! You broke you have an image of a God that he told you not to have. Of anything in the likeness. Well, that's pretty rigid. Okay, I got to admit, I broke that one. And did you break it? And Steve? Oh. He has an iPhone. You know he broke it. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto those unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, how many has done that? I have.
Kurt just did.
Now listen, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh the name in vain. Say, well, how about if you repent? Didn't say that. How about if you ask for forgiveness? Didn't say that. If you take the Lord's name in vain, I will not hold you guiltless that taketh my name in vain. That's weird, isn't it? I don't remember hearing this in Sunday school that way. It seemed a lot easier to keep. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. It did not say, work 5 days off, half Saturday off, and then come and worship on Sunday. That is not what that commandment said. You know what that commandment said? You are to work 6 days. People say, well, I keep the Sabbath day. No, you don't. Because the commandment said to work all 6 days straight. I wanted to go. I think you guys went to the lake house one weekend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going.
I don't want to know anymore. Y'all understand? Y'all understand? It says to work 6 days, and the Sabbath day is your day of rest, and you give it to the Lord. Now, I've been going and doing a wedding down in Jacksonville at the yacht club. Mm-hmm. Did y'all see that outfit yesterday? Did that yacht clubbish? Just trying it out. What'd you think, huh? My sister said, you bought a jacket too big. I said, with the swelling stuff, you never know what size. I've got all the smaller sizes I need. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and in it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, if he lives in your house, he can't work on the Sabbath day. Well, son, I need you, Sunday, I need you to fix that lawnmower. You can't do that. Carlton, you're okay, buddy.
Can't milk cows.
Can't milk cows? You can't do any work. Well, you can probably take care of people depending on the care that you're giving to them. If it's ministry cares, yes. See, this stuff isn't easy to do. If you actually read it for what it says, it becomes very difficult.
Absolutely.
And the same value system sinks all of our boats, because how many have sinned?
Oh.
All have sinned.
All but one.
So tell me, Mr. Morrill, I'd like for him to tell me what he's done that is so fantastico, or so much better than moi. What have you done so much better than me? Bring it and show me your impressive style. Show me how you did it. You see, that's the problem. Because when they go back under the same law, they become guilty just like I did. Just like everybody that's under the law is what?
Guilty.
This one's a little tough. This one's a little tough. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My days are numbered. You know what I mean? Lisa Miller's, she'll be lucky to get to 30. Okay, but here's one week. Thou shalt not kill.
Oh, well, yeah. Finally made one.
Wow. Oh, I did kill that squirrel I shot.
It doesn't say one not to kill those.
No, it doesn't. It says thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, but they had to kill for their...
No, they did have food. And God allowed that. But I mean,
no,
you know, most people think, well, I got away with that one.
Yeah.
I didn't do that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about if I told you I'd murdered? How about if I told you, without a shadow of a doubt, that standing before you right now, with no reservation, I am a murderer. Does that change your mind of me? Carrie? I'm a murderer. I'm telling you that. No, I'm not joking. Annie, would that change your mind of me? Rosita? It would change your mind? Lisa Miller? Steve?
Nah, I love you.
I appreciate that. Kurt, how about you? Miss Lisa?
Absolutely not, because if you even think of it, you're guilty.
No, that's not what the Bible says. Hold on to here and go to James chapter 2.
You're guilty of one, you're guilty of all.
Mm-hmm. See, people don't really believe this Bible. And it's a shame, because if they did, they would give up trying to do good works. Have I ever told you to go out and lie?
No.
Have I ever told you to go out and steal? I don't think I mean that's true. Boy, is that true. This crowd's definitely true. But look at James 2, verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law. Say, well, that's the moral judge I'm using. I'm keeping the whole law. Well, I had some graven images. I didn't keep all the Sabbath days. I took the Lord's name in vain. But it said in James 2, verse 10, read this verse. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one
point.
How many points?
One.
He's guilty of them all.
Well, isn't then I'm a murderer?
Yeah.
See, you're screwed.
Aren't you?
I am.
See, some of you guys thought, man, that would change my view of you. It's because you're not knowing the grace of God. Because you're no better.
That's exactly right.
Boy, that just leveled the playing field, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got to brag about? I mean, if we take the moral law, and that's your works, and you're trying to do good works before God, that would have to be the same works. If you mess up in one point, you're guilty of them all. You know the difference between me and you? And I'm flat out admit what I am.
Amen.
I know what I am. I'm not trying to buffalo you or pull the wool over your eyes. You ever wonder where they got that expression? In sheep's clothing, wolves in sheep's clothing, pull the wool over your eye. I'm not pulling the wool over your eye. But let me tell you, there's some people pulling the wool over some people's eyes. They're acting like they got it. Righteousness? You see, I'm telling you the problem is I can tell you what I am by this book. I don't like what it says about me. I hate the fact that I'm that way. I wish I could be something other than that. But I can't. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we use the same law that they think makes them righteousness and judge them by it, they're going to come up murderers too. But if you ask them if they were a murderer, they would say, no way.
Yeah.
And then you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. In fact, you know how some of these people started thinking? Tell me if this doesn't remind you of some of your friends and family members. Go to Isaiah. I love this stuff, don't you? It doesn't kind of really let you go too far, does it?
Isaiah
65. Oh, he's got this one marked.
Praise
God.
Five.
I haven't eaten them yet, though, but if you got good notes, I may steal a few. I forgot my Bible.
Verse 5.
I had 2 cents. Thank God they're all the King James Bible. Doesn't really matter who owns it, I guess. Isaiah 65, verse 5. What say, which says, say, stand by thyself, come not nearer to me, for I'm holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Wow. These are smoke. You ever had smoke in your nose? People go around, oh, look at me. I've got it going on. When you know what? The playing field was leveled by the law. That's the value system. For a man to think that we don't have the same value system is incorrect. I just know where I fit on the value system. He thinks he's accomplished it. Now think about this. This is serious stuff. Terry, you wonder why I feel that way about the covering? It is because 99% of the people in this room, when they first had it, thought there was some value in that covering. They thought, listen to me, tell me if this isn't true, that you thought it had to do something with your righteousness. And as long as that is equated, then you're under the law, and the people that are under that law are in trouble. Because for the 1,500 years that these people gave out the law, every Sabbath day, all the people of Israel heard it day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, on the walls, on the thing, everywhere they look. Law, law, law. You know how many kept it?
None.
Not one. That's weird, isn't it? So what would be in the mental mind of someone who now says, I can do the works of righteousness because I have the Holy Spirit? Well, what did that change to you being in Adam? You know what? You can have all the Holy Spirit and I can still see Adam in you. You know why? You're getting older. I saw the weirdest thing on the Food Network I've ever seen. I was flipping channels. And I don't watch the Food Network, but since I mentioned it Sunday, I thought it would tie in kind of nicely. In California, I've lived in California, L.A. and San Diego. Well, I didn't really live in L.A. We traveled up there all the time, thought we were rich. found out we were just farmer kids. Anyway, they have Botox parties. And so this lady was a multi-millionaire, and there's people all over waiting for a Botox. And in the other room, there were people putting veneers on in the dining room. And they were serving, it was about the Food Channel, serving these foods that everybody could eat that were kind of the thing, they couldn't move their mouths and stuff. So that'd be food that they didn't have to chew. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I thought to myself, you know, that's kind of like the law. We don't want to be what we are. We're wanting to change who we are. Always admit what we are. And James 2 lays it down that if you keep the whole law, yet offended in one point, you're guilty of them all. And I'm amazed at how some of y'all looked at me when I said I was a murderer. You guys didn't know what to say. And I was sincere. Because I knew what the Word of God said about me. And if God calls me that, I must be that. Go to Mark 7. You always, I'm always impressed. With people that somehow look in verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man... let me step back in. Verse 18. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering in the man, it cannot defile him. It isn't what goes in a man that defiles him. You got it? It isn't the beer or the wine or the food or the pork. Or that's not what defiles a man. Look what he says.
Or the dip.
Because it entereth not in his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draw purging of all meat. And he said that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth, this is what the man's heart are. Now, this isn't Barry Hampton saying this. This is what God thinks of your heart. Reese, now you listen to this. This is what God thinks of your heart. Out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts. Is that true? Adultery. Is that true?
Amen.
Yes, it is. Fornications. Murderers. Thieves. Covetousness. Wickedness. Deceit. Lasciviousness. An evil eye. Blasphemy. Pride. Foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Boy, you know what? Sin didn't come from outside and make you... It wasn't your buddy that caused you to go down the airward road. It came out of your own heart. Your rebellion. Your way you treated your mom and dad. The way you treated your friend. The way you lied about this friend and lied about that friend. You know, it's amazing how we gossip about one another. Amen? The same man that said we had the wrong value system been talking about me. And I asked him, in a little Facebook war I guess we're having, and I said this, you think it's okay to talk about me behind my back? I'm not quite feeling the love because the Bible says to love thy enemy. I don't feel the love. You got it? You want to do the work? Hey, the person that runs your son over and kills him, go up and hug him. You want to show me? I did that in court. This man knows nothing about me. The judge in the whole courtroom grasped when I grabbed that kid and I said, I love you more than you'll ever know. Tears running down my cheeks. And I said, I love you for my Savior's sake. And I want the very best in your life. And that judge threw down the gavel and hit the courtroom dock and said, I have never seen more of a display of Christianity. Well, it wasn't me. It was Christ working in me. And it was all that I know. I'm not any better than the kids that murdered my son. I am no better. And the people that couldn't do that, and they have a grudge, and they hold guilt, and they hold bitterness towards someone, or they won't forgive them, or they see down that heart, is because they're wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked! Yeah. You're not any more than Christ-like than a man in the moon. That ain't nobody good. And even in all that display of Christianity, you want to know what was behind a little bit? Stinking pride.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is this? You think you're something. And then I realized then that you can't get away from the stinky old flesh.
Mm-hmm. No.
Fakers. Facade builders. That wear the coverings. I watched women that wore the coverings and they wouldn't submit to their husbands. Tell me, to obey is better than to sacrifice? Come on, are you kidding me? See, the law brings us all down on the level. That's what it's designed.
Yeah.
Look in Romans chapter 7. Isn't this great?
Love it.
This isn't hard to understand, is it? Verse 13, this is what the Bible says about the law. It was never intended for you to show how moral you were and how good you are and what you think you got going on. It was to show you that sin might abound. That's what the point. And God wanted them to say, hey, we got a problem. You know when that happened for David? In 1 Samuel. Nathan comes walking up. Yes? Hi, Nathan, come on in. King David, I have a question for you. Man, he has a lot of wee little lambs. But he goes and he takes the one wee little lamb of a man that only has one wee little lamb. One wee little lamb. Got it?
Yeah.
And then Nathan goes, well, what should a man like that do that would steal somebody's wee little lamb when he has so many? You know what David said?
Yeah.
That man shall surely be put to death.
Mm-hmm. Thou art the man.
Thou art the man. That's what the law does. Kind of leveled David, didn't it? I bet David wasn't going, Lord, help me! Yes, he did. That's all he could do. You know why? By the law, there's no sacrifice for murder. If you committed adultery, you couldn't get up in the church and confess it. By the law, you would take that person out according to Deuteronomy and take him out and stone him immediately.
Wow.
Because there's no blood sacrifice for that. And now here is the king, David, the man after God's own heart, according to Acts 13:22. Guilty. and his only way out was grace. You know what David said in Romans chapter 4? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Because if he'd held him, he was a dunner.
When was that found at?
Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Go to Romans chapter 7 while he's going there. And look in verse 13. The law. What was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Now here it is. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good. Now here, that sin by the commandments might become what? Exceeding sinful. So you go, man, I need something. It was trying to show you that you needed something more than what you had in yourself. You got it? Galatians chapter 3. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, bro.
Excellent.
Don't preach this in Sunday school much, do they? Galatians. I might just preach all night. I'm feeling kind of
good.
That's
good. That beauty rest helped.
I did. I think I'm that shot. That Bible shot. You see that anymore? Your girls will line up sticking their bottoms out now. Give me some of that. No, man, that stuff makes you remember Bible verses like that. I'll give shots out for $10 a day. That'll give me enough gas to get out. Galatians chapter 3, y'all there? Verse 22. Now watch. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. How did it do that?
By the law.
The same value system that this guy said we had different value system. The same value system says what?
We're all under sin.
That presents a problem, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can't get there by good works. Someone please say yikes. Yeah. Hello. About this point, you should be going, yikes.
I'm thinking grace.
Yeah, amen. Now watch. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, if your Bible says faith in, you know that's a boo-boo. Promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now watch. Before faith came, before we got saved, we were kept up under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be rebriddled. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. What was the law? It was to do what? Teach us something. Mm-hmm. What do you think it was to teach us? Yeah, that we're all sinners. That's what it was. God entered it for a very specific, so that we would be exceedingly sinful, Romans 7:13, and where sin might abound in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. That's why he entered the law, so they could see, finally, they're sinning like this, it's like this. And they would cry out for help of the Savior, so when He sent the Lord to them, they should go, yes, the Lord! But you know what they did instead? We don't want that. We don't want grace. Kill them! And thank God they rejected them and hung them on that tree. Because then salvation came to you. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. That is really good. Watch verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by keeping the works of the law and by wearing our coverings and our clothing and all the things we think we're doing.
By faith.
By faith. Huh? But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the what?
Schoolmaster.
Boy, thank God. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know what you would feel if you were under that law all the time? Condemnation. Look, if you will, in... I'm not sure. Give me just a second. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, but Second Corinthians 3 keeps yelling at me, so let's go through. Let me look at Second Corinthians 3 first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Verse 7. Second Corinthians 3, verse 7. It goes to show that was my first instinct. Always go with your first answer on any test.
Yeah.
3, verse 7.
Yes. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone. Well, what was written and engraved in stone? What did he call it? The ministration of what?
Death.
It wasn't ever intended to make you righteous. So where is the deception that Satan has done? He's made everybody think by keeping the commandments they're becoming righteous. Right?
That's part of your Sunday sermon.
I mean, that's just the regular Sunday teaching. But what they're doing is putting you under the ministration of death, and you're being condemned. In fact, look what he says in verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. That's grace. Wow. Yeah, that's a wow. Wow. I would underline that in my Bible. That is amazing.
Right, wow.
Yeah, I would at least write, wow. Maybe praise the Lord, PTL. You see, people think it was the law that was keeping on righteousness. But he said, once we've come to faith, now, I'm going to teach you something. Every meeting where you get together, and 2 plus 2 equals
4.
Let's go over it again. 2 plus 2
4.
How many times do we need to do this?
4 times.
You see, you don't need to do it once you got it. You've been taught what it's trying to teach you. What was the law trying to teach you? That you're a sinner. Once you got that, you know you are. Hey, listen. No confession is going to change your sin. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Right.
And there is no temple for you to shed blood.
Never was for the Gentiles.
It never was for the Gentiles. That's true.
What verse is that?
What?
What's
shedding of blood is no remission of sin.
Hebrews chapter 9, 22 or 23, I think. 22? Yeah, Hebrews 9, 22. All right? So guys, listen. That's why Cain's sacrifice wasn't acceptable. It had no blood in it, and that's why you got the expression, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip.
That was his attitude.
No, it's not his attitude. Renee Fikes is yelling yikes on the text. Y'all understand? Is this hard to understand?
No, not at all.
It's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Because it makes you destroy all of what you believe.
Mm-hmm. All we've been taught all our life.
Absolutely. Me too. Go back to Romans chapter 3. But now something unique has happened. There's a but now in the Bible that is so incredible that it's probably one of the wow, incredible but nows in the Bible.
What was it?
Romans chapter 3. Is this book not incredible, guys?
Amen.
This book is the most... Every time I pick up this book, it is like... It is amazing.
No kidding.
It is absolutely amazing. All you have to do...
Is believe.
Yeah. All you have to do is believe. That Jesus did it all for you. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, my kids used to yell, yeah, you didn't write that. That's a hymnal. We'd sing it going from Texas to Pensacola and stuff. And, you know, we'd try to sing, and you notice we're still trying to sing. Quit laughing at us. Verse 21. Now watch. But now the righteousness of God without the law. is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and all the other translations put in, and that would be incorrect. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Is that not awesome? See, that's the mystery. There was a mystery came along. All of a sudden, for the first time, in Paul's epistles, in Acts chapter 9, from then on, no more value system of the law. Righteousness now is without the law by faith of Jesus Christ. You are made the righteousness of God. The only way you can be the righteousness of God outside of the gift is to keep all of those commandments.
No one ever did.
And for 1,500 years, zero accomplished.
Wow. How many commandments were there total?
About 600, between 613 and 620. I've tried to look them all up. I can't find them all. I get close and I get around 600 and I get blurry eyed. Did I already get that one? It's very difficult. But again, they're really just talking the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's all you need. Because the Ten's easy. But then they say, well, you know, we need some other laws for this. And it's just like, we'll have no king but Caesar. Well, they didn't want God to be their king. God was their king. And he said, well, we need an earthly king. And so they gave him Saul. You know where Saul was found? Amongst the stuff. Isn't that interesting?
The stuff.
Yeah, I love that. But the whole point that I'm making with that is that you don't need the 613 to show guilt.
Ten's
all you need.
Yeah.
And that's really all that you need, because if you put everybody under that same moral system, and it doesn't matter if it's Andy or if it's Reese down there. In fact, Reese is way down here somewhere. I can only tell by when they're talking.
What?
Y'all understand? I mean, here's the glory of God. There's some of you, I mean, I think Miss Carrie, not this Miss Carrie, well, she may too, I don't know her that well, but this Miss Carrie, she probably got right up there. That's probably where she is. Rhoda, I bet.
Rhoda's almost touching the line.
Almost, right there.
Well, I didn't look like it, but I wasn't.
Now, Lisa Miller, she's way down there. And Reese hardly got off the board. She's just that.
Got a blush. Good night.
That's her suntan.
Welcome to the class. It's like a roast and a class at the same time. But you have to cross the line in order to get in. And nobody's done that. You got it?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter if you're an inch short or 200 yards short
or
2 miles short. It doesn't matter.
You're not getting in.
And baby, that's it. So God knew that, but He wanted them to see where they were. They had the attitude, don't come near unto me, for I'm holier than thou. They should have got. You have now? Oh. Don't come near to me without your covering. I can't even look upon you. And you know what? They're all even.
Yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah.
There ain't none good. No, not one. That included me and everybody watching on the internet. And everybody in the room. So what's the answer? Well, you need the righteousness of God to get in. And if the only other way to keep it is the commandments, then we're all doomed to hell. But go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of what?
Righteousness.
Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Andy, remember the dollar I gave you?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That represents righteousness. It's a gift. Once you got that, guess who you're righteous as?
God.
Hello? Now could you get into heaven?
Amen.
Why? Because you're good?
No.
No, because you received the what?
The gift of righteousness.
Now that makes me want to go out and lie, doesn't it?
You're going to make Renee say yikes again.
Norman, she probably is going to say yikes.
Norman Barton would say relax.
Relax, yes. Go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what?
Righteous.
Made righteous. Not lived righteous. Not doing righteous.
Wow.
Made righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians. You might want to write this in your Bible right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would. Well, I was going to go to 21, but if you want to finish the sermon, I'll sit down. I have a King James Bible. I have the Bible.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Doesn't matter who owns it. It's a King James Bible. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 5. Now this is my favorite. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole wide world.
Verse
21. All right, hang on. Hello? Hang on just a second. Say hello again.
Hello.
Hello.
Debbie? You want to listen in? Well, I'll plug you in for the rest of the Bible study. All right. You did. I felt crushed and I'm still devastated. Yeah. Are you going to be able to get me some milk tomorrow? And it is just me. All right. No, that's fine. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know what time, but I'll call you. All right, darling. Bye-bye. I've been trying to get her to come to Bible study. She's nervous. I don't blame her. I get nervous about you guys too, man. Especially this one over here. 2 Corinthians 5, y'all there?
Yep.
For he, that is Almighty God, had made him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? And him. Am I a murderer?
Yes.
Oh, now you're like jumping on board. I see how that switch is quick. Am I a murderer?
Maybe. I'm feeling better.
And that's good. Now that's exactly right. You know what else I am? I'm as righteous as Almighty God.
Amen.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
That'll blow your mind.
How did I get that? He made it. He went to that cross and became sin for us. So where did all your sin go? All your sin, your whole life went there. How many sins do you have now?
None.
Did he know of them all in the future?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he did. All your sins were in the future. How many sins do you have?
None. Zero.
Why? Because you repented?
Nope.
Because you confessed them? No. God made him to be sent for you. That's why. You got it? That's pretty easy. But that's for everybody.
That's right.
How about the drunk that goes to that bar?
That's right.
How about those people that get the nipple piercings?
Mm-hmm.
And the self-righteous.
Do you have a nipple piercing? We had two that came to church and they had nipple piercings. And I said, you have to quit showing people at church, please. Even all those people, all their sins are gone. You got it? He thought he was some biker dude. He was this tall. He said, yeah, but I'm 7 foot when I'm on tequila. All his sins were gone.
Amen.
Why?
Because Jesus Christ took them.
Because God made his son to be sin for them. But that doesn't mean he's saved.
That's right. He needs to trust him.
You have to receive.
Thank you.
You have to receive the gift. What's the gift?
Blood.
Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
When was there a day in your life that you said, you know what, enough of all my righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to receive what Jesus Christ. And that when I hand that dollar over, I have a lot of people say, no, I don't want it.
You've had them refused here?
Absolutely. I handed out dollars and people said, no, I don't want to take your dollar. Yeah, but this represents righteousness. Oh, no, I'm fine. But all you had to do was reach out and say, I want that. And receive it. And the moment you receive it, you're made the righteousness of God. Same exact righteousness as, the same exact righteousness as Almighty God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now, can you get into heaven now?
Absolutely.
Could you lose that?
Nope.
No.
How could you lose something that you never did anything for? If we go back under the value system, what are we going to find out?
We could lose even
if we were. Went back under the law, we could become guilty.
Yeah.
So you know what he did with the law? Look at this. This is weird. Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 2.
Nailed it to the cross. First down. Not 14. Almost had it in there.
Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. You know that stuff engraved in stone as in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 9. That thing. The ministration of death.
2 Corinthians what?
3, 7 and 9. 7 and verse 9. Both verse 7 and verse 9.
In 3.
Yeah, in chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
2 Corinthians 3.
I got it.
Got it.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Listen, it's important for you guys to get it. Look, if you're not going to get it, there's no first bits of doing this.
That's right.
I got better things to do.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I could be at home watching TV like you would be. But if you're going to get it, I'll stay until midnight. Because getting it is what it's all about, guys. If you miss it, you missed it all. Right? Ain't good. Say, but I was in the class. It isn't about being in the class.
It's about trusting.
I had the most phenomenal Bible teachers named Barry Hampton. I know. Won't do it. Guess what you need? You have to get the gift. And you know what? That's the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
peace that passes.
Man, when all of a sudden it realized, you know what? I'm not any good. That was the first hardest thing to really come up because my mind was so, you know, it's like, you're better than some. And I was pretty bad at the time. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I haven't killed 40 people. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Why? They were perfect. We were what? Carnal, sold under sin, which was contrary to us. They're righteous, and we are what? Unrighteous. And took it out of the way, nailing it to... You can't even keep the law.
So that's what that contrary means. I was... For some reason, I was thinking that some of it, like, they would have been interpreted as, like, there's only some things that were against.
No, yeah, the whole law.
Everything. That's somebody's way of explaining it.
Right.
Yeah, they just try to soften it up.
Right.
It was contrary to us. Where was the law taken? Right there to the cross and taken out of the way. Because you know what? If the law had been there, you would have fallen short again and never made it.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So God had a plan. And the plan is clear. Hello? Hey, flee back. We can only have two dogs on the ark. You may be the third one going the wrong direction.
Don't tell Roxy that.
Oh, I hope she's not watching.
I bet she is.
She is watching.
Is she watching?
No, they're not on.
Oh, they're probably fishing. Well, here we are, fishing for men. Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, how clear does it have to be? So when that guy wrote me and said this statement... Well, didn't know how to operate an iPhone. He said this. However, I see no point in discussing if we do not ascribe to the same value system. That's weird, isn't it? That's a weird statement. What he's trying to say is, I'm better than you. Really? How do you know? I do have to admit, I am a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would never admit to that.
You're a blasphemer, too.
Why don't you just tell everybody? Yes, I'm a blasphemer, too.
So am I.
I'm a thief, and I'm flat out a stolen thief. You ever steal anything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you knew it wasn't right, but...
Oh, yeah.
Cashier gave you a dollar too much, got in the car, and you said, I'm not going back.
Wow, what are you talking about?
One time I stole a camshaft from the place I worked when I was 16 years old. It's a three-quarter racing camshaft. $400. Pro-professional racing piece. Stuck it in that 302, it squealed. When I got saved, I went and told the man. You know what? If I did that with every sin I did, I would never have stopped doing it. Because there was something. I'm a filthy, rotten human being. And for you to allow me into your house, Mr. Miller, I'm not kidding. Listen to me very, very much. It's amazing. The only thing great about anything that I have anything to do with is my Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Only thing I got to brag about. So are you handsome? No. But my Savior is.
Mm-hmm.
Most lovely man I've ever met in my life. Are you honest? No, but my Savior was.
Mm-hmm.
See, He did all the works for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And made it right before God. And so when God looks down at little old Barry, here's little old Barry here.
If you were that small, how big would I be?
Well, you're more like this. No, I'm just kidding. When God looks down at me, He doesn't even see me. He sees the blood
of Jesus Christ. Thank you,
Jesus.
I'm covered in blood. The only thing great about me is I've got a covering. I don't need the physical covering anymore because I'm covered with the covering of all coverings, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why do you need any other covering? Look at what he said. Go to Colossians chapter 2, where we were just at. Really?
Yep.
Man, I was all over the Bible by the time I'll be back. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians? Colossians, please. Look at this. And ye are complete in Him.
Verse 10.
Colossians 2, verse 10. Are you complete in Him?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Amen.
I like being complete. You know, it's like that Jerry Maguire. You complete me. You know what? Christ completed me. Didn't think I knew Jerry Maguire, did you? You haven't seen that movie either, have you?
Yes.
Have you?
What, Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Have you seen it? You have not seen. We need to go to the movies with you a little bit in Karachi. Have you been to hear Andy sing?
These guys are like.
Oh man, we're gonna have to work you over. I'm joking.
You don't want to hear me sing.
Oh yeah, me either, brother.
What does the agent do
music? All right, let. You all see that? Are you complete in Him? And if you're complete, what lack you now?
Nothing.
If Jesus says you are complete, you're righteous, you're the righteousness of God, what lack you now?
Nothing.
And what will you do that will help Him do any of this?
Nothing.
Not only that, I want to show you one last thing about this thing about righteousness, okay? There's a couple last thoughts on it. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm actually working up a sweat here. Look at that. I have worked tonight. This has been real work. Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all there?
Yep.
I don't know, all of it's good. Just pick any verse. No, verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up. Going to raise us up?
Have.
Already done.
Yep.
So why are you worried about making it?
I
ain't. You see, this is a little bit of the eternal security because you already made the righteousness of God.
I don't care.
And hath made us sit together. Going to make us?
No.
Have.
We're already there.
Made us. Past tense. In heavenly places. That's pretty clear, amen?
Amen.
Are you already in heaven?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, you are. You know what you're waiting for? The redemption of your vowed body. That's all you're waiting on. That's all you're waiting on.
Where's that in that we're single by the Holy Spirit?
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13.
And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Very good. Rhoda. Rhoda. I love that. I see her Facebook post. I'm glad she's putting R because I thought David was really that smart.
Give me those again.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And Ephesians 4, verse 30. Okay, Kurt, that's enough, brother. Shaved off. He looks like a preacher man now. I'm proud of him. He's ready to take his sword. And
any other?
That's where it talks about sealing, pretty much. I don't know of hint to it, but man, we'll talk about that one day. What did I want to talk to you about today? The value system.
Bless you.
The value system for all men is exactly the same.
I'm glad he wrote you that email.
Oh, it's been because then all of a sudden it dawned on me. What? How can we have different value systems? What he means is he's better than I am. And you know what? That's probably true. Here's the problem. He's not getting across the line either.
That's exactly right.
That's
the problem. Well, I'm more moral than you. Yeah, but you didn't make it, did you, you little weaker? You know? Yeah, but I got closer than you. Oh, we're both in hell. Like, that really matters.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, that... You see the problem? Well, I was more moral. I wore that when that girl came up to her and said, "That about the government?" I said, "Look, you ain't gonna make it any better than me, girl.
Right.
You might be all the way up to the line. Hey, here's the problem: nobody's past the line except one.
Christ.
My Savior.
Except the blood of Christ.
And the gift test, yes."
You have to have faith in the faith of Christ. That is awesome. That's awesome.
What's faith of Christ?
The faith of Christ, he believed God the Father would raise him up if he took on all your sins. He had to trust God the Father just like you did. And if he didn't do it, you would still be in your sin. You'd be in dung. Or if you like the NIV version. You know what I mean? I can't say it because that's not my value system. I never watched that. I love people go out in the field. Oh man, I stepped in. I've never heard him say, "Oh, I have stepped in dung." That's weird, isn't it? It's like, that smells like
dung.
Yeah. Thank you. Poopy. You know, I mean, no way. I mean, the guys around the woods, they don't fake it. They fake it around the girls a little bit. When they get out there in the woods hunting, I mean, listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not telling on Curtis just because, you know. Curtis came in and said, "I got me a turkey." And I said, "Oh, you stepped in some turkey." He said, "Yeah, some turkey." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's been in the woods way too long." But you know what he told his wife? It was turkey pooper. No, I'm just teasing. It did sound like him, though. It was funny, but I got tongue twisted between the turkey and Curtis. Curtis. To Curtis. Curtis Turkis. Turkis. You all understand? The only thing that makes me saved is I'm in Christ and the shed blood is there. I've never been moral. And that's why Paul says, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. Is the will present with y'all?
Yeah. Yeah.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's hard to swallow. Mm-hmm. Leonard, I can't believe you wrote me the word. On the text message.
Oh.
And he just wants me to prove that I'm not any good. Brother, you don't need that to prove that I'm good. And you know, I don't understand people with these moral systems, these value systems. I really don't understand them. Some of these girls are fat. Little gluttons. Peace! chickens! Pig, pig! Whee! I mean, they're so fat they make you swill. I look at some of these women and say, "Ooh! Take that covering off. You ain't submitting to nothing but that ham."
My wishes, ham.
You know what I mean?
She's got a question.
Yes.
No, I don't. Don't worry about it. Fat women, I mean, legs.
Fat men, too.
That's fine.
Lisa.
I am one hot guy, thank you. I love you too, baby. Y'all got it? You're good.
I am.
It's a gift, just like the dollar, right? You got the dollar, you got the gift. You refuse the dollar, you refuse the gift. You know why people go to hell? They refuse. How many people could have the gift if they wanted it?
Everybody.
Amen. See, that's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
So why don't they want the gift? They think they're okay on their own.
What's too easy?
Mm-hmm. But hold it. For 1,500 years, those people had it. Mm-hmm. And not one of them kept it.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
And you did too at one time. Don't be acting so self-righteous.
I would probably be down in my heart. I knew it. I did. There was no peace there.
No, that's true. There is no peace. I was going to put my good on one side. This is what I believe growing up. You know, we talked about that first time. I believe God was going to put the good on one side and the bad on the other and weigh it out. If I was more good than bad, He'd let me in. I believe that. When I found out I was, and the scales went like this, clunk! Then I needed something else, and that's when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Alright, any questions? Anybody want to testify of anything that's happened this week? Anybody want to eat something over on the table?
No.
Alright, I'm done.